Go, Father, accomplish what you sent it for to do, Lord. Amen, Lord. Strengthen us, Lord. Lift us up, O God. Let us, O God, increase in faith and love, Lord, in righteousness and truth. And let us abide, Lord, in your love, O God. Amen, Lord. We ask this, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, bless our worship, our testimony, O God, and bind us together that we can be, Lord, one body, Lord, in one place, in one mind, in one accord, O God. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let it be done, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus.
Praise the Lord,
Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Good to see you all. Because it's been a long time since I've been here. That influenza hit me and it hit hard. Yeah. It's kind of scary, and it's just, I just think the devil's mad after the breakthrough we had in the revival.
Amen. Amen.
But it's good to be back here.
Amen.
It felt weird being gone after being here every day. I didn't know what to do with myself. But amen. I'm ready to worship the Lord with you all.
Together, Lord,
Jesus.
Blessed us in so many ways, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that as we give our tithes and offerings to you, Lord. Lord, that you multiply it, Lord. Bless it abundantly, Lord. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you give us the opportunity, Lord, to give back to you, Lord, for all that you give to us, Lord. Lord, I pray we do it with a cheerful heart, Lord, anticipating, Lord, being blessed by you because you promised it to us, Lord. I thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
I ask this all in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Oh,
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father,
Jesus. We have a thinned out crowd tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Regardless, glad to be in here.
Amen. Amen.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
And as far as I understand, there's still some who intend on going up to Minot tomorrow, so those that are heading that way, we pray Godspeed.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And hope they enjoy that conference up there.
Amen.
The Jacob Connection, I think that's what it's called. So praise God. I hope everybody's praying for revival just to continue.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The Spirit of God just to continue to flow.
Yes.
Amen.
In us and
Amen.
in this body, it's what we need.
Amen.
It's what we need. We need to be renewed and revived, restored every day.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. So I'm thankful. Thankful to be in this place again.
Amen.
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 That's right.
I look forward to it.
Amen.
I always look forward to it, especially, you know, just preparing myself and getting myself in a place where, you know, the Lord can begin to speak to me and lay the burden of His Word upon me. And it's always something I'm always, amen, anticipating.
So,
praise God, because obviously He does know. He does know.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. So if you want to turn with me in your Bibles this evening to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6, and I'll let everybody get there.
Thank you.
Amen and amen. It's still kind of takes some use to getting used to write down whenever I'm doing anything to write down the month of February. I made the mistake of, I don't know why, I still think or March, I should say. The month of March. And I'm still thinking I'm in February. See, I'm still there. Praise God. Got to get out of that February mindset and get used to March, I guess.
By then it'll be April.
Yeah. So, but time is going by real fast.
Amen.
Real fast.
As one person said, and I don't know who said that, but time is fleeting.
Amen.
That's true. Goes by so fast, and that's what I have to get used to. I had to void a check when I was paying my bills because I wrote on there February instead of March, and I thought, oh, wait a minute, what am I doing here? So, praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I don't know if that would have caused any confusion at the bank. Might have. Amen. Paying that bill twice.
There you go.
Praise God. But we'll get things lined up. We'll get things lined up. We'll all get things lined up.
Amen.
You're probably more lined up than I am. Praise God. I wish that would be the very thing that, you know, happens to everybody, that they're lined up.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what I mean, lined up. Praise God. But I guess you can't be any more lined up than I'm lined up.
Yeah. Amen.
So that means I better get ahead. Praise God. So you can catch up.
There you go.
Amen.
But it's something. It's something. Praise the Lord. Let's get to our scripture tonight and we'll just go on. And so John chapter 6, if you have it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we'll begin with verse number 47. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life.
Mm-hmm.
I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that if a man may eat thereof and not die, that a man may eat thereof and not die.
Mm-hmm.
I am the living bread which cometh down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed.
Mm-hmm.
He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him.
Mm-hmm.
As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, This is an hard saying, who can bear it? Praise God. So here we see Jesus expounding to the Jews, amen, about really who he was.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And in this particular scripture, he's making reference to the bread.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to understand something. Obviously, he was speaking something that to the Jews should have been understandable.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Because he was speaking to them something that they should have obviously have known, because, you know, he talked about Moses and the law of Moses, obviously giving them just a little hint of, you know, how he's making that connection. Because you see that here, he refers to that. But yet they still could not comprehend.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't understand. And you go there in verse number 63, look what he says. It is the spirit that quickeneth. It's the spirit that giveth life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The flesh profits nothing. Now look what he says. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. So he's saying, the flesh profiteth nothing but the words that I speak to you. Why was he saying that? Because obviously he made reference to the Old Testament words or Moses' law. He was making reference. He was trying to make a connection with him and tell them that, hey, I am the bread of life. And then he began to, he alluded to, amen, the example of the people of Israel eating manna. He said, your fathers ate manna. And he was trying to make that comparison, trying to open up their understanding, trying to take them to that place where they could understand what it was when he meant when he spoke to them that I am the bread of life. Praise God.
Amen.
Why is that so important? Well, when he stated in verse number 53, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. So what does that mean? When he made this statement, obviously this, ingestion of God's word.
Amen.
Ingestion of God's word, because he was making reference to God's word.
Amen.
He was making reference to the type that was in God's word. Obviously, so the Jews could understand, that's where he was coming from. But they could not see past the point that, as he said, the flesh profits nothing. Amen. But my words, as he said, but the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. In other words, making reference to the word of God. The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, I want to bring something to your, just kind of enlighten you, just hopefully a little bit here. It's really important for us to hold on to, and I hope everybody, to some extent, remembers the word that was ministered to us during that two-week revival. Can any of you remember any of it?
Amen.
Praise God. It came at us so intently. Praise God. God was speaking to us. He was speaking to us individually.
Amen.
And he was speaking to us as a body.
Yes.
But yet he was speaking to us.
Yes.
And that word came with such anointing.
Yes.
It came with such power. And it came with such life.
Amen.
It was the word, but yet, as he said, these words are spirit and the spirit is life. So what happened? God spoke to us, and obviously God revealed to us what we need to do and what his will is for us, to understand what we need to do to walk with him and to walk in his word and in his will. This can never happen. This can never happen for any of us unless we understand that for us to become, amen, fruitful in God, we need to realize something. We can't just come just to hear. Praise God. We can't come just to hear, because if you come just to hear, you're not going to benefit. Amen. By the word of God. That's why James said that don't be just hearers of the word only, but be doers of the word. Amen. And if you're doers of the word, that means, he said, this man will be blessed in his deeds. So in other words, He's saying that if I want to just take it and maybe just paraphrase just a little bit, don't just hear the word of God, mm-hmm. but do obey. Mm-hmm. So as you obey the word of God, you know what you're going to do? You're going to ingest mm-hmm. his mm-hmm. word. In other words, you're going to make it a part of you. Mm-hmm. You're going to ingest it. You're going to put it in you. And that's what Jesus was saying. That's the reason why they had such a tough time, because he said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He was trying to get them to understand that he was speaking of the word.
Amen. Amen.
Right. Amen.
So that's why it's really important for us to pay attention. Mm-hmm. Praise God. So that we can understand. Ingesting of God's word is really important for us, because that's what we need to do. We need to learn how to ingest God's word.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. We can take a look in the Old Testament if you want to. Turn with me in your Bibles and go back to the book of Leviticus. In chapter 2 in the book of Leviticus. And you'll see here, if you do a little homework and do a little reading, you're going to find out that the Lord, amen, begins to put in place the ceremonial sacrifices in the Old Testament. And he's talking about the offerings that are to be offered up. You notice this. As you read that and you begin to read that, starting out in the first chapter, you don't have to go there now, but you, as you read that, he's given them instruction concerning the sacrifices. Mm-hmm. And of course, several types of sacrifices that involved the sin offering, the burnt offering, the peace offering, amen, the drink offerings. All these offerings that were associated, amen, with approach or having access to God and taking care, amen, of sin that was in them. So all these were a, amen, type of what we're talking about, the Word of God. But he gave them instructions, so he was laying out the instructions concerning all these offerings. In other words, he was commanding them, this is what you do when you bring your sacrifices. So I want you to understand something. When he's talking in that way, when he's talking in that manner, we realize something. That when he begins to instruct the people of Israel concerning all these sacrifices, he's bringing something to them that obviously, amen, he wanted them to understand. That every male Jew, every male Israelite that brought the sacrifice was a representation, amen, not just of himself, but of his family, mm-hmm. of his household. Mm-hmm. And so that's the reason why every Israelite Jew represented his family. Praise God. He was their representative. So it was given them as an instruction to do according as the word of God instructed them to do, commanding them to bring whatever sacrifices for whatever sins. Of course, there were different types and, amen, different kinds of sacrifices that were to be offered up. But they all had to follow, praise God, the commandment of God and the instructions pertaining to each sacrifice. So it became something that was not just for the whole of Israel, not just for them as a nation or as a people, but for every person, every individual mm-hmm. that was represented by the head of the family.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
In other words, guess what? I'm simply saying it in that way so you can understand it. God said, so that it can become personal.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
He desires a personal relationship right. with his people. A personal relationship. Of course, back in the Old Testament, the male represented the family. Mm-hmm. The male represented the household, but yet still it was a personal relationship. God definitely wants to develop a personal relationship with you and I. Amen. Based upon that, so that we can come to know him personally, individually, and even as a whole, as a people of God, because that was God's intent. And that's what God was trying to somehow, amen, get the people of Israel to understand. But when he gave them instruction concerning the sacrifices and all that was to be offered up, I want you to understand something. Because when you go into the scripture, when you talk about the ceremonial sacrifices, amen, and they were brought and they were offered up, there was a portion that was given, amen, to the priesthood.
Amen.
And the priesthood were to eat that portion before the Lord. Amen. They were to eat that portion of the sacrifice. Now why is that? Why is it? People don't even realize that they were to commanded to eat that portion. You go over there in chapter 2 and verse number 3, and it says, and the remnant of the meat offering, or the meal offering, shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. So, amen, what was left of the, amen, meal offerings, and I want you to understand this, when it talks about the remnant, what was left of what? Of what they offered up to the Lord. Mm-hmm. The first of it was offered up to the Lord, and what was left was offered to, amen, the sons of Aaron. So what does that mean? Obviously, it's called a meat offering or a meal offering. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Amen.
And they were to partake of it. Mm-hmm. They were to eat of it.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? Well, a lot of people don't realize this. When it comes to that portion of being able to establish fellowship with God, being able to establish that personal relationship, guess what? We do that. That means that we're going to become intimate with Him.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So when we become intimate with Him, we begin to share. He shares with us. We don't share with him.
Right.
He shares with us,
right,
because he's given us the instruction, the commandment, as he told the priesthood to Aaron and his sons, that the portion that is left over is going to be for Aaron and his sons. In other words, amen, that they are going to sit down and they are going to partake of the same sacrifice,
mm-hmm,
that he received. In other words, just let me paraphrase it this way. We're going to receive and eat the same things God has received and has eaten. Personal. Personal. And so that instruction was given. So you go there in Leviticus chapter 6, and we're just going to kind of hit a few scriptures there so you can get an idea of what I'm talking about. The law concerning the meat offering or the meal offering. The word meat, that's kind of the King James Version uses that word meat, but it's, you know, it could also be, it's translated meal or grain. Grain offering. And that's what was offered up. And besides the, as we're going to read here, besides the shoulder of the heave offering and the wave offering, besides those portions of the shoulder that the priests were commanded to eat, but we see here in Leviticus chapter 6, number 14, look what it says. And this is the law of the meat offering. The sons of Aaron shall offer it before the Lord, before the altar. And he shall take of it, and he shall take of it his handful of the flour of the meat offering and of the oil thereof and all the frankincense which is upon the meat offering, and shall burn it upon the altar for a sweet savor even the memorial of it unto the Lord. And the remainder thereof shall be Aaron and his sons, and the remainder thereof shall Aaron and his sons eat. With unleavened bread shall it be eaten in the holy place, in the court of the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall eat it. Wow. So we see that. And it shall not be baken with leaven. I have given it unto them for their portion of my offerings made by fire. It is most holy, as is the sin offering and as the trespass offering. All the males among the children of Aaron shall eat of it. It shall be a statute forever in your generations concerning the offerings of the Lord made by fire. Everyone that toucheth them shall be holy. Amen. Think about that. Had to be eaten in a particular place, as we see here. Had to be eaten in that place. And amen, we see that he's given them that instruction. Let me tell you something. If you pay attention to what the word says, and all the males among the children of Israel, verse number 18, shall eat of it. It shall be a statute forever in all, in your generations concerning the offerings of the Lord made by fire. It shall be a statute forever. Tell me something. When does forever end? In other words,
it's still going on.
It's still going on. It still can be applied. Amen. This concept can still be applied. Amen. Ingestion of God's word can be applied. So we're seeing, listen to this, we're seeing, as he stated, we're seeing the law of the meat offering. The law of the meat offering. Praise God. So we understand that as long as, amen, we obey God's commandment concerning the meat offering, the eating of the meat offering, amen, that was a law. There's a law. The reason why it says it's a law, it's a commandment. It was something that was established. Why? Because those that partake of it, guess what happens? When you eat of it in the place it is supposed to be eaten of in, and you eat of it, guess what? You become holy. Praise God. Verse number 24 in that same chapter. Amen. Verse 24. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, this is the law of the sin offering. In the place where the burnt offering is killed, shall the sin offering be killed before the Lord. It is most holy. The priest that offer it for sin shall eat it in the holy place. In the holy place shall it be eaten in the court of the tabernacle of the congregation. Whosoever shall touch the flesh thereof, look what it says, shall be holy. And when there is sprinkled, of the blood thereupon upon any garments, thou shalt wash that whereon it was sprinkled in the holy place. But the earthen vessel wherein it is sodden shall be broken, and it shall be sodden in a brazen pot. It shall be both scoured and rinsed in water. All the males among the priests shall eat thereof. It is most holy. And no sin offering whereof any of the blood is brought into the tabernacle of the congregation to reconcile withal in the holy place shall be eaten. It shall be burnt in the fire. So, amen, the sacrifices couldn't be eaten with blood. Basically what he's saying. But look what he says. It shall be eaten in the congregation, in the tabernacle. Amen, the tabernacle of the congregation. And amen, whosoever shall touch the flesh thereof shall be holy. Ooh. Think about that. Remember, this is the law. The law of the meal offerings. The law. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we've kind of gathered some information about who is to eat it, where they're to eat it. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
When they were to eat of it. Praise God. Mm-hmm. So we see that was the law that was established. You go over there into chapter 7. You go over there into chapter 7. And verse number, amen, 1. Verse number 1, look what it says. Likewise, this is the law of the trespass offering. It is most holy. In the place where they kill the burnt offering, shall they kill the trespass offering, and the blood thereof shall be sprinkled round about upon the altar. And he shall offer of it all the fat thereof, the rump, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks, and the cowl that is above the liver, with the kidneys it shall he take away. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar for an offering made by fire unto the Lord, for it is a trespass offering. Every male among the priests shall eat thereof. It shall be eaten in the holy place. It is most holy. Amen.
Amen.
And so, and then you go to verse number 11 in the same chapter. And this is the sacrifice of the peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. And if he offer it for thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Beside the cakes he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of the thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And if he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord, and it shall be the priest that sprinkle the blood of the peace offerings. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. Pay attention to that. It's to be eaten the same day. And it's not to be left. But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offers sacrifice, and on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten. But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire, and if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering be eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, neither shall it be imputed unto him that offereth it. It shall be an abomination. The soul that eateth of it shall bear his iniquity. So what is he saying? Of course, like I said, he's making it personal. So you notice that all the sacrifices that were offered up, the meal offerings, the sin, the sacrifices for sin, the trespass offering, the burnt offering, the peace offerings, and the offerings for thanksgiving. All of those sacrifices that were offered up, the priest received his portion of those sacrifices. And he ate them in the place that was, amen, instructed of him to be eaten in. Okay? So we see that was the law of, amen, the burnt offerings and the law of the meal offerings. That was the law. Here, I want you to listen to this. Because every sacrifice that was brought forth, even in the meal offerings, amen, that was brought forth, and even in the drink offering that was brought forth, did you realize something? Amen. Every time they offered that sacrifice, it was something that was personal, because God commanded them that not only was he the one that was going to receive the portion of it, but, amen, the priest that offered up the sacrifice. So in other words, they had to ingest the sacrifice because God wanted them to make it their own.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Everybody still with me?
Amen. Amen.
In other words, make it personal. Mm-hmm. I want you to understand something. When we talk about sacrifice, this is the law of sacrifice. Every time you come to the altar and you present yourself before the Lord, what does the Bible say? The Bible says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Mm-hmm. So when you come, what does that mean? Just like the Israelite and just like the priest, when you come offering that sacrifice, you are the owner of that sacrifice. How do we know that? Because every Israelite placed his hand upon the sacrifice that was going to be killed when it was brought before the Lord. So in other words, amen, they were showing ownership of their sacrifice. Right. You and I have to show ownership of our sacrifices right. when we come. We make right. it a personal thing when we present ourselves before God. Mm-hmm. And not only that, making ownership, but guess what? We also are partakers of that sacrifice.
Amen.
You know why it's important to take heed? You know why it's important to not just hear, but to obey? Because when you hear and when you obey, you know what you do? God is obviously speaking to us to obey His will. And as the priesthood ingested those sacrifices in the place that he commanded them to ingest those sacrifices, he said, when you do that, he said, amen, the place that you do it in, he said, anything that that flesh touches, it becomes holy because it is most holy. Mm-hmm. It was done right there in the sanctuary or in the tabernacle of the congregation, in the place right before the altar where they slew the sacrifice. So it became most holy.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
This is the part that everybody needs to understand. Because what did Jesus say? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Amen. Right. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In other words, just let me put it in simple terms. If you do not ingest my word, if you do not ingest my word. Mm-hmm. You can sit there and you can hear all you want.
Yeah. Right.
But it's not going to get you any place.
Right. Amen.
The word of God is not going to benefit you.
That's right.
Praise Amen. God. Why? Amen. Because you have to make it personal. Mm-hmm. And you have to ingest yes. the word.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's why James said, it's not just the hearers, but the doers. In other words, right. those that obey. So when God speaks to us, you know what he's doing? Amen. It's imperative that we listen. And what he instructs us to do, it's imperative that we obey. Because when we obey, guess what's going to happen? The process of ingestion of his
yes.
word.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen.
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 Mm-hmm. Make it personal.
Amen.
Praise God. Think about that. And you know what he said? Pertaining to the sacrifices, he said, you can't leave it there. It has to be eaten mm-hmm. the same day.
Right.
Yep.
mm-hmm.
What God speaks to us and what God commands us right. when we're here in this place, guess what? We can't leave that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It has to be received, it has to be ingested because we can't leave it.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Has to be eaten the same day. You ever wonder why it is? Praise God. Why? We just can't seem to, amen, benefit from God's spoken words.
Right.
Part of it may be because we don't really pay attention, we don't really listen, we don't obey. But the other part of it is because we never ingest it. Mm-hmm. We never take it, so we leave it. Mm-hmm. We never ingest it. So as a result, guess what happens? You know what he said? When you eat it in the, amen, in the congregation, the tabernacle of the congregation, in that particular place, when you eat it in there, you become holy. Mm-hmm. Right. And whatever you touch becomes holy. The problem is us ingesting his word.
Amen.
That's the problem. Mm-hmm. So when he prescribed to them that you must eat of it, you must eat of it in the place that I, amen, tell you to eat of it. Praise God. Amen. Mm-hmm. You cannot leave any of it. You cannot leave any of it. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Think about that. Think about that. You know, Jesus was speaking to his disciples and John, and you don't have to go there. I'm just making reference to it. But he knew his death was coming, his crucifixion was coming. So he began to minister to them. And then he, as people say that, what, amen, chapter 15, amen, all the way up to chapter 17 is what they always refer to as the prayer of the high priest. That's what Jesus was praying for his disciples. Mm-hmm. He was entreating the Father that he would keep them one as they are one, and that his hand would be upon them, and that he would keep them from the evil one, or keep them from the evil. And so he was making that prayer. He was making that intercession for them because, you know, he was praying for them, interceding for them. Mm-hmm. Then he goes on to say this. In John chapter 17 and verse 17, look what he says. Sanctify them with thy truth. Mm-hmm. Thy word is truth. Mm-hmm. So in other words, he was saying that, God, I want you to, Father, I want you to sanctify them. Sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. What did he mean by that? Praise God. That there was coming a time when the disciples were going to actually realize what it was and what it is to be sanctified, and only because they believed and they obeyed God's word.
Amen. Amen.
Well, even Paul kind of makes a reference to it. One of the Jews, one of the hang-ups was this. When he said that, he said they made the word of God of none effect.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep.
Is that what he said?
Amen.
They made the word of God of none effect. How did they do that? Their unbelief. Yeah. Right. So when we don't believe, you ever wonder why it is? Let me tell you something. I believe this. This is a, praise God, this is a remedy. Mm-hmm. This is a means for the people of God to be able to be fruitful and productive in the things of God, in living for God. Why? Because if we understand that he wants us to ingest his word, you know what's going to happen? He's going to sanctify us. Sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we're going to be sanctified. We're going to become holy. And so because we become holy, you know what that means? Amen. People misunderstand holiness. Amen. Holiness all means this. To be holy means this. To be separated from sin.
Amen.
So when we become holy, we're going to be separated from sin. It's not difficult to live for God.
Amen.
When you ingest his word,
amen,
you become holy just like he is holy.
Amen.
Sin shouldn't really be something that always overcomes you or overwhelms you. Because if you're full of the word, you're going to be sanctified.
Right.
Praise God. You're going to be holy. You're going to be separated from sin. So it shouldn't affect you the way it affects you, especially when you don't ingest his word. Am I making any sense?
Yes.
Is it understandable?
Yes.
So think about this. There's other examples, especially in the Word of God. Go with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 2. Now remember, these are all metaphors, allegories, types, shadows that represent the spiritual. So we see this in Ezekiel chapter 2. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
And verse number 7, it says this. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. For they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. So look what the Lord says to Ezekiel. He says, open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, in hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein, and he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. So you go to chapter 3, verse number 1. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Praise God. Mm-hmm. So here, the Lord spoke to Ezekiel and said, hey, Ezekiel, I want you to eat this roll. And so Ezekiel obeyed God's commandment, and he did. He ate the roll. Why? Because God wanted him to speak to Israel. Amen.
Amen.
He wanted them to speak to Israel. So as a result, guess what? He ingested God's word. He said, then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Amen. Amen. So you see here, we receive certain examples in the scripture, and you go over there to Psalm 119, and Psalm 119 and verse number 103, and we see this. It says, verse 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Remember what David said? Taste and see that the Lord is good. So when we ingest God's word, that's the best thing that you and I can do. We can ingest God's word. Guess what? And when we ingest God's word, it's going to make a difference for you and I. We're going to be able, praise God, to, amen, live. Remember the old cliche? You are what you eat.
Mm-hmm. Right. Amen.
So if you eat his word, as he said, guess what? His words are spirit, and the spirit is life.
Mm-hmm.
So if you eat his word, guess what? You're going to come to life.
Right.
Amen.
You're going to come to spiritual things. You're going to become a spiritual person because you're eating his word. My words are spirit and my spirit is life. Woo! Think about that. Think about that. Amen. When we can ingest God's word. You think about, I remember the first time I ever learned about fasting and praying. When they were teaching us about fasting and praying, there's a doctor by the name of Frank Hall who wrote a book that was called, and this is an old book, Atomic Power with God Through Fasting and Prayer. I don't know if any of you ever heard of that book. We were taught about fasting and prayer, and we use the teaching of Franklin Hall, who was a medical doctor, but he was also a believer. To understand the body, and even to understand the mind, our thinking, the way we are, our mentality, things that govern the way we are in our carnal nature. When I say carnal nature, I'm talking about the flesh, everything about the flesh. It's desires, its wants, its appetites, the lust of the flesh, everything pertaining to the flesh. And he said this. He said, people think that if they abstain from eating food for maybe 3 or 4 days, they're going to starve. He said, your body will rise up and your body will, amen, protest because you're not giving it solid foods. Obviously, that's what it will do. He said, but people don't understand this. Starvation doesn't set into the human body until 63 days after it had its last meal. So in other words, it won't set in. Starvation won't set into your body 63 days after you ate your last meal. Then it will start to set in. He says, from that time that you cease to eat, he said, that transition between 3 to 4 days after you eat your last meal, he said, your body transfers over and it begins to eat off all the fat cells in your body. He said, so you notice that when you abstain from eating for 3 days, 3 to 4 days, all depends on the person. He said, your body throws those tantrums and it says, I'm hungry. But after the 3 or 4 days, finally it stops. You know why? Because it starts to eat off of your fat cells in your body. And depending on how much fat you got on your body, some people can go for, amen, weeks without eating. Because it's eating the fat cells in your body. That's why people lose weight when they fast. But that just goes to show you. That just goes to show you, we depend too much on carnal food.
Amen.
The body can live without it if it has to. So you think about that. So here's Job, when he said this in the scripture, in Job 23, verse number 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. He's talking about the Lord. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Mm-hmm. Woo. Mm-hmm. They were more important than my necessary food.
Mm-hmm.
The words of his mouth. Praise God. So you think about that. You think about that. And amen, when we take a look at, you know, the scripture and praise God, we understand something. Of course, we're still talking about ingestion of God's word. And so when we take a look at the scripture and we see how powerful the word of God is, mm-hmm. because it's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
He said, the flesh profiteth nothing, but my words are spirit and they are life. gives us life. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Gives us spiritual life. Mm-hmm. That's why it's important for us to ingest it. Amen. Mm-hmm. You go back into the scripture in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. And you see the Lord speaking to his people. And this is what he says in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. He says, amen. And he humbled thee. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Mm-hmm. So here we see, this is what Jesus spoke when he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil came to him to tempt him and said, command that these stones be made into bread. So Jesus rebukes him and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So we can live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How do we do that? If we ingest his word. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If we ingest his word. So you think about it. You think about it, saints. If we're going to benefit, if we're going to benefit by the word of God, we have to ingest the word of God. If we don't, then we can't. Mm-hmm. We can't live. We can't live by the word of God. So that's why it's important for you and I. That's why it's important for you and I to understand, praise God, what we have as far as his word is concerned and what he said. He said, then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Mm-hmm. We're coming to the month of April pretty soon. And Lord willing, we will be partaking of the Lord's Supper again in the month of April and foot washing. If we could ever understand what it was and why the Lord instituted this, amen, this practice in the body, of course we understand the benefits of it. And when we receive that, amen, that cup and that bread, and what it means. Because the Apostle Paul, when he was speaking of it, he said, for I received of the Lord that which also I delivered. I'm speaking out of 1 Corinthians 11:23, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. So the bread and the wine. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So we need to understand. That's what he's saying. Paul says we need to understand what it is, what this represents. When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we need to understand. Whoso shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthy shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. In other words, he shed, his body was broken for you and I, for our sins. And he shed his blood for us. Praise God. His blood was shed for us. Amen. For the remission of sins. So when we understand what the Lord did for us as far as this, and as he said this, amen, that whosoever shall eat this bread and drink the cup of the Lord unworthy shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So we understand that. So when we partake of the bread and when we partake of the wine, we understand what he did for us. And obviously, he did it so that you and I could be, amen, set free from sin.
Right.
So as a result, guess what? We should be free from sin.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And when we do, we remember.
Right.
We do show the Lord's death. In other words, he died for my sins. So because he died for my sins, I need to die out from my sins.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to live for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Guess what? The Bible says, by his stripes we are healed.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So that's the reason why. Praise God. I believe if we will be aware of what God is doing in our midst, and everything that has been given to us via the Word, everything that has been ministered to us via His Word, and if we can take that Word and we can ingest that Word, I believe we'll see some results.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
I believe we'll see some righteous people.
Amen.
Not self-righteous.
Mm-hmm.
Righteous people.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we'll see some holy people.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we'll see some sanctified people.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. People who walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's really important for us to understand we need to ingest the Word of God. We need to ingest it. Amen. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. It's impossible. People are attempting to live for God on their own. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
To be effective in our living, we have to ingest his Word.
Mm-hmm.
We have to ingest it. Praise God. We have to receive it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Don't know if there's going to be any rehearsal tomorrow. We'll see what happens. But since there's so many that are out with the flu, possibility there won't be. And as I mentioned, I will be making an announcement very soon here as far as our changes in our weekly events and our schedule. And once I have determined what I'm going to do, we'll be making some changes on Mondays and probably Fridays with some activities that we're going to put back in the schedule. So once I've determined that, I will be making those announcements. Amen. In the very near future here. Praise God. Keep everybody in prayer, especially all those who are afflicted with this flu influenza. I guess it is A and B. I don't know. Praise God, two types of flu that is going around. So pray for all those who are affected by the flu, and continue to pray for even those that have come from Wagner, Brother Rich's Bible study out there. Pray for them that God can continue to even bring people in and even let those that have come in be grounded and settled in God's Word. So let's pray for them. Keep them in your prayer. Keep Brother Colter in your prayer, because I know his trial is coming up. I think his sentencing is coming up here. So keep him in your prayer. Praise God. Amen. He needs the Holy Ghost as well. Several of his other ones that need the Holy Ghost. So keep them in prayer.
And we'll see everybody Sunday. Praise God. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Greet one another in Jesus' name. Have a good evening.